Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God, and there is nothing more awesome than serving God. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Shari, for that awesome selection. Praise God. Well, it is an exciting day, and I have with me today our pastoral panel, and I have Pastor Raphael and Pastor Michal here, and we're going to kind of join in together as we talk about being citizens of the holy city. And you and I have been going through this journey this year of prevailing beyond the times, being able to walk in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God, enabling us to make wise choices and decisions as we navigate through the difficult times that we are in, and bring honor and glory to God all at once. Hallelujah. And this is what God has called us to do, and we're excited about coming into kingdom compliance. And we're always being molded and shaped into the image of God. And as we are being transformed, we are able to be the witnesses that God has called us to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you a witness? Yes. Yes. Amen. We are witnesses. That's what God has called us to be. And it's exciting to be a servant of the Lord. It's exciting to be a child of God, especially in challenging times. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Because that's when you can really notice the difference. Hallelujah. And so today we're going to be, we have our, you know, we always have to adjust to these tables here, but we're going to be talking a little bit today. Let me get my, at least I thought I had it somewhere. Oh, yeah.
The old chair of faith.
The old chair of faith. Yes. Easy now. Easy now. Easy. All right. Well, we have been talking over the course of this year. We began the year talking about redirecting our passion, and we talked about the importance of coming and sitting down before the Lord, allowing our souls to be refreshed and our minds to be renewed as we spend time in our personal lives with God. The importance of each and every one of us having a personal relationship with Jesus, and being able to cultivate our relationship with Him. Then we talked about, we bring our fragments, we bring whatever we have, we bring the best that we can. We come before the Lord and we lay it before Him, and we ask God to use it to be the representatives of the kingdom of God. We talked about the five loaves and two fish, and how the fragments were taken up, and little fragments for God are huge, because God can do a lot with just a little. The widow and her two mites, God honored. And you and I, we began this journey this year bringing our fragments as we sat at the Master's feet. And then God repurposed us. He begins to take what we have and who we are and use us in ways that were unexpected, ways that we weren't expecting to be used in, but yet God used us to do amazing things, to Amen. Be a blessing, to be able to see the manifestations of God come to life among us. And now we are talking about being citizens of the holy city. And once we understand that we are born into the kingdom of God, that He really is real, the Lord is real, God is real.
Amen.
He is who He says He is. And He is not shaken by anything that goes on in the world. There's no way to surprise God. He doesn't say, oh my Lord, there's a there's a pandemic going on. Oh my goodness, something happened. Oh, they did this. Oh, what a terrible sin. Did you see that coming, Jesus? No, I had no idea. I didn't even realize that they had all this sin and crazy things going on in their life. You can't surprise God. God knows. He even knows before you do it. In fact, he's preparing for it. And he's already has a plan of redemption that's in play. And God's desire is to liberate and to set us free. And he realizes and knows the fact that we have an adversary, that Satan is at work all around us in order to deceive us. Satan is a master deceiver. Say that with me. Satan is a master deceiver. And his desire is to fool us in any way he can. And he has a plan, just like God has a plan to redeem us, Satan has a plan to cause us to be deceived or believe and act in a way that is contrary to what God wants us to do or believe or think. And his plan is based on our shortcomings and our weaknesses and our way of thinking. And that is why we need to have our minds renewed. And that requires us to understand who we are. Once you understand who you are, you begin to adapt your ways to match your Heavenly Father. And we learn the ways of God. We spend time in his word. We study the word. We read it and we examine it so that we can see what those who were successful did to be successful and what those who were ultimately failures did to become failures. And we learn by reading through the Old Testament and the different stories, and we look at the example that we see in the New Testament of how we are today supposed to apply these principles and these ways of the Lord. And so this is all important as we go through this year in order for us to be able to prevail. You and I, we are prevailing. And this has been an amazing year for us as a church, and we have seen the hand of God do so many things among us. And God has been faithful. And despite the challenges that we faced, we have gone through, God has brought us through it. Hallelujah. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Amen. And so it's exciting to be a child of God. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about being kingdom citizens. And it's so important for us to live as kingdom citizens, not just visitors. You know, when we travel, when we go on vacations, we don't live like the people who are the locals, right? We don't live like the locals. When you go to the Bahamas, do you live like a local Bohemian? No, you don't. Yeah, you got that one really quick, right? Yeah, I picked that one on purpose. And wherever we go, we don't live like local people. We are pilgrims. We are travelers. We're passing through. And so we are coming to learn and to grow and to bring an experience or have an experience in these places so that we can learn what they are. And most times we come back saying, thank God I'm home. Isn't that right? We say, thank God we made it home safe and that we're here. And we become even more grateful. That's one of the reasons I'm such a big fan of people going on missions trips. Because when you go to other parts of the world, you realize how blessed you really are. Mm-hmm. And how much God is giving you opportunities and favors and ways, and you have skills and abilities that you can put to work, and your whole perception on life is completely different than had you have been someplace else. And God has done that for a reason, for a purpose. And as citizens of the kingdom of God, we are to live as citizens of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And not as those places, this world that we're passing through. And so you and I must learn the ways of the kingdom and come into kingdom compliance so that God can be glorified. And so when we began this year, we started out talking about the reality of God. And Pastor Raphael will share with us a little bit about that in just a moment. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for your word, and we ask, oh God, that you would reveal yourself to us and help us, oh God, to be molded into your image, that we might be the representatives and the ambassadors of the kingdom of God, that we as your children would learn from you, that we would glean the ways of the Lord as we abide in your presence, as we spend time with you and we learn of you. Lord, we thank you for all these things that you are doing among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Pastor Raphael.
All right. Ow. I'm going to grab that clicky.
Here you go.
What's that?
Careful.
Oh, look at that. You see, this is always. All right. I'm not a sitting down kind of.
I need to get something real quick.
Oh, yes, of course. He needs his.
No.
Spoil the.
Go ahead.
My surprise.
All right. Yes.
It'll make sense. This, for those of you guys who don't know.
You're the heavyweight champion?
Ooh. No. I got that one too. For Father's Day, my wife declared me the champion of all the United States.
Hallelujah.
But today we're going to talk about something a little different.
Okay.
Before we get started. So, he is real.
Yes, he is.
He is not shaken.
No.
And we have the awesome blessing of being a citizen of the greatest kingdom in the world.
Amen.
And although some may think that it is the United States, it is actually the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
And I want to start off in Luke 5, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. They were done for the day. They thought they had finished what they were sent to do. But Jesus showed up. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said, 'Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets.'" And I want to pause just for a second, because this is representative of all of our lives. Jesus asks us to do things in our life. Jesus asks us to go forth and do a work. And we sometimes think that we're the champions of our own life. Sometimes we think, "Hey, Jesus, why are you telling me what to do? I've been a fisherman my whole life. I know where to go. I know where the fish are, and I know where the fish aren't, and the fish out here, they're not here, Jesus."
Right.
"We've been out here working hard all day. I haven't caught anything, Jesus." But when we realize that we've had an interaction with Jesus, when we realize that it's the Holy Spirit himself that's telling us to cast our nets, our response has to be verse 6, or the end of verse 5, "But I will do as you say," mm-hmm, "and let down the nets." Mm-hmm. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break.
Yes.
So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and they filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." And it ends at verse 11. And it tells us, when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And that's where this comes in. Sometimes we think that we're the champions of our own lives. Sometimes we think that we know what it is that we need to do. Sometimes we think that we have been in the midst of whatever it is that we're doing and that we are professionals at it. But here's the problem when we think that we're a champion. A champion can only be a champion if they once were a challenger. And I have news for you. You can go ahead and challenge Jesus, but you will never win.
Amen.
You can go ahead and challenge the Holy Spirit, but you will never win. A lot of verses in the scriptures, it talks about laying down our crowns before the throne. Mm-hmm. Well, this, everyone knows I'm a big wrestling fan. And I have lots of championship belts. Okay, I am sometimes the biggest child in my house. Not sometimes, most, like all the time. But the fact of the matter is that, yes, I love these things. It's really cool to have them. But the most awesome thing about these is the fact when I look back and I see these and it says championship or United States champion or heavyweight champion, it reminds me this is nothing more than a replica. This is an imitation, because the real championship belt was in the form of a crown of thorns, was the form of Jesus himself. And at the end of the day, the question is, are we willing? Are we willing to take our championships and lay them to the side and remind ourselves Jesus is King?
Amen. 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 Thank you. Yeah. You know, it's such an important thing to understand, because we want to be the champions of our own lives. We want to be the ones who are in control. I mean, even, you know, here's the fisherman out there on the boat, and here comes Jesus, a carpenter. Does a carpenter tell a fisherman, a professional fisherman, where the fish are, you know, and how to catch fish? And so you could easily see how if you had human perspectives and human ways of approaching things, then you would never be able to experience the blessing of Jesus, because you would rationalize yourself away from the opportunity to be blessed and to have a kingdom experience. And that's what the Word of God does for us. It helps us to be able to change our perspective so that we're seeing it from a divine perspective rather than a human perspective.
That's right.
And this is something that takes practice to be able to do that, because our physical beings are compelling us to go in a certain direction or to feel a certain way. And we have to be able to resist that feeling or that thought, that whole mindset that pulls us and align ourselves to the kingdom of God, bring ourselves into kingdom compliance. And that's what we're modeling for our children.
That's right.
You know, as fathers, we're modeling this as mothers, as parents, we're modeling this to even each other, to help each other to be reminded that we're not of this world. We're from another kingdom. We're helping each other to be able to achieve that. And again, that goes back to understanding who you are, right? And Pastor Michal, you want to share a little bit about
just for like one thing,
about that? You want to say something? Yeah, go ahead.
Just to Pastor Raphael was saying, because really, I mean, you know, in that moment, Peter recognized Jesus as a rabbi, right? So he submitted to him as a rabbi, someone who was, I guess you could say, above him, you know? Mm-hmm, but I guess the question for us and the challenge to us is, are we willing to submit to one another? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even when we see, so the Lord puts us in situations in our jobs, you know, in our homes, wherever, where we can't recognize that person as an authority technically, but God puts them in our lives so that we can love them. That's and actually be Jesus to them, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And not just, you know, submit to them, but not submit to them because they're over us, but because they're actually either a peer or they're someone who the Lord is giving us to serve, you know?
Right.
So.
Amen.
Yeah, and even in that situation, it's God who orchestrated
it. Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
so you got on that job and that person became your boss or whoever is overseeing you. That was God. Yeah. God did that. And if we don't think of it that way, we're thinking of it from an earthly perspective when we have to remember this is we're part of a kingdom. Nothing happens in our lives except God allows it. He orchestrates. He allows all these things. He's navigating, and even things that seem like they're evil or they're harmful or no good, God will cause it to shift.
Right.
So you can't even go by the way it seems.
Right.
You have to just trust and know that God has you, and he's bringing you through this so that you can learn and grow and have the experience and represent the kingdom in the process.
Amen.
So,
and,
yeah.
And just kind of building on that as well, when they were out there, it says that they weren't out there alone, you know? And when they finally submitted themselves to Christ, that overflow took place to the point where it benefited those who were around them, right?
Mm-hmm,
it was like, guys, I can't even handle all these blessings by myself. I need you to come take some of these blessings from me, you know? So again, you know, subjecting ourselves to Christ is going to result in blessings in our life that impact others as well. So if the blessings are only impacting you, let's start really submitting ourselves to Christ, because it shouldn't be just about you. It should be a blessing that actually overflows into all those around us.
The two boat blessing.
The two boat, or as Pastor Mihal would say, the Dublin blessing.
The Dublin. Yes, there you go. Right.
I'm trying here. I'm trying.
Yeah.
All right. So praise God. So who are you? And you know, I think that's just leading, just even following through on that thought process. There's no way we can really fully submit our lives to God, to Jesus, or to one another until we really understand who we are. You know, I mean, when I was doing this sermon, I thought it was so interesting. I looked through like the world's advice on this question. This is a question that kind of separates us from animals or from the regular, you know, I guess the animals, really, more than anything else. But it's the question we ask ourselves, who am I, you know? And it's what eventually we answer these questions, but do we answer them in accordance to God's movements in our lives, or do we answer them according to, you know, the incidences and the events that have happened in our lives? Is that what causes us, or is that how we develop the idea of who we are? So I just want to go to the scripture in Romans where it says, however, you are not in the flesh. He was just going through the whole thing about what it is, what it looks like to be in the flesh. And then he turns and he says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So first of all, that's the most important piece right there, is that we, each one of us, understand what it means to have the Spirit of Christ in us. And that Spirit of Christ is where we submit ourselves to the call that Christ has upon everyone's life. There is no one who's going to stand before the Lord and say, well, I never got the opportunity. God is always calling, always ministering, and you know, and everybody will have the opportunity. Even the very creation, he says, declares his glory, right? So, and our understanding of who we are comes from when we submit our lives to Christ, confess our sins, and then become saved and have a deposit of the Holy Spirit. Because until that point, the piece of us, the spirit that God deposited in us at creation, is dead because of sin. So we can't even understand who we are because God has created us to be this amazing being in His image and in His likeness. And we're walking around. Everybody's into these zombie movies, right? But that's really what we're kind of walking around like, you know, mindless, and we're not able to really anticipate our full potential because we're not connected with the Holy Spirit. We're not connected with God in that way. So then it goes on. It might go on. Okay, there you go. If Christ is in you, though, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And this is very important because as we get into that place where we come into a relationship with God, we, you know the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, that God's desire is to transform us from image to image and glory to glory. And we must be continually choosing to pursue after God and the things of God. And as God, and that is not even a decision based on our own intellect. That should be coming from a place of being in worship, in prayer, in the presence of God. And then out of that comes an overflow. The Holy Spirit will start to well up in us, and it'll be a desire beyond even our own intellect. It'll be a yearning and a desire that we have out of a place of love for the Father and a passion to know Him more, you know? And because this is not about a legalistic thing, but this is the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who raised Christ from the dead, right? Who has gone beyond the laws of physics, beyond the laws that God gave us even in the Old Testament, and He's raised Christ from the dead, right? That He can do the same thing in us. He can raise or even our mortal bodies from the dead and cause us to live a life that is subjected, that is passionate, and that is being led by God. So, and I'll finish with this here, but on the... Oh, I went too far. Oh, no. Oh, sorry. Okay. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And that's who you are. And it's so important to know, in that question, we ask, who am I? You are a child of God, right? You are a citizen no longer of the United States. You know, I have dual citizenship. I'm a citizen of Ireland in the natural, a citizen of America in the natural. But I've relinquished my citizenship to either one of those. Mm-hmm. Because my citizenship is truly in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now my desire is to minister to those citizens who are still Irish citizens, or American citizens, and bring them into citizenship in the kingdom of God. And you know, in Ireland, it's almost impossible to get citizenship because your great grandmother, I guess, has to be Irish first, right? In America, we see all the troubles that are going around, or all the efforts that are going into getting citizenship here, right? Mm-hmm. God has made it very easy for us to become citizens of the kingdom. Amen. He has done all the work on the cross. He has done everything that we need to become citizens. He has done all the work. All we need to do is reach out and receive this free gift that Jesus has for us. And then once we receive that, then to understand and to operate. You know, you're not just someone who has been saved. Yes, you're someone who's been saved from the fires of hell, but you've been saved for a purpose. You've been saved unto good works that were already established beforehand. So you were saved with a purpose. You were saved for a reason. You were a citizen of the kingdom of God. Right. You were a child of God, right? So you are no longer the person you were prior to salvation.
Amen.
God has come and He has regenerated the very breath of life that He originally put into Adam, and now has caused us to be able to actually commune with Him, to interact with Him, right, to be led by Him, right, to know Him, right, where we were never able to know Him before because we were dead because of sin. Right. So praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. You know, and I think that's so powerful when you realize it, that Not only does he give us new life, he gives us of himself so that we can have the power to actually accomplish these things.
Yeah.
I love this passage because, you know, it talks about, you know, how important it is to put to death the deeds of the flesh.
That's right.
You know, and, you know, so I mean, we've all heard people say, well, you know, God knows my heart. Well, your heart and your works need to match. So if your works are from one kingdom and you're saying that your heart is from another, just because we supposedly can't see your heart, supposedly, but God really lays it out quite clearly that your actions reveal your heart. So what happens is that's another deception of Satan. And he uses these types of phrases and terminologies in order to, and I believe it's a strategy of the enemy to that people use, and they don't even realize they're using a demonic strategy. But what they're doing is they're positioning themselves in a way to continue to do the wrong thing,
yeah,
or to respond, or to be able to justify doing the wrong thing. And God says, put that to death. You know, allow it to come to the surface. We all make mistakes. We all have shortcomings. But don't be in denial that God knows my heart, so therefore, you know, it's just okay or it's just going to go away. No, it's like, you know what? Help me to overcome this. Help me, you know, pray for me or encourage me in some way. Help me, come alongside me. We need each other's help. And when we fall short, we confess our sin. Right? It's confession that leads to salvation. You know, it's the idea of like when you buy a new car, right? They make all kinds of promises, right? When you go to buy a car, you know, on the gas mileage, oh, it's well made, all this stuff. But you never hear them say that you will never have to wash this car, right? You will never have to take this to the car wash. It will stay clean as long as you own it. It will shine, gleam, crisp as the day you drive it out of the showroom. And we all know, no matter how good the car is, no matter how great it is, you're going to the car wash within a few days probably. You know, and the newer the car is, not only are you going there, you're bringing out the vacuum. You're going to be cleaning inside. You're going to be telling people, don't eat in my car. You know, no kids with French fries or dropping burgers down in between the seats. Why? Because it's a new thing, and you want to keep it. You want it to last. You want it to sustain it. But after you've had it for a couple of years, it's like, you know, come on, we'll eat while we go, you know, it's like, you know, we're coming on, stuff is sticking all over the dashboard and things are all glazed over, car is filthy, you know, because, you know, it's like we go along and we can't live our Christian lives that way. You and I, we need to be cleansed.
Amen.
We need to be washed.
Amen.
And Jesus cleans us. He busts us out brand new when we're born of the Spirit of God. But now we have to walk in the holiness of God to stay clean. And we know we're going to fall short, so we confess our sins. Mm-hmm. And when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to renew us. He cleanses us, and he makes us to be clean again.
Thank you, God.
Right? You have to wash your suit, right? It goes to the cleaners, right? Your clothes. Why? Because you could say, I didn't get sweaty today, so therefore I can wear this again tomorrow, right? You could put on your same underwear, your same clothes, everything over. Why? How is it that you can do that? Well, you know you can't, right? And if somebody says they can, you go, you go, no, thank you.
Hey,
no,
Jesus.
No. No, you need clean, you need fresh, and you need new every morning. And that's like the mercies of God, right? The mercies of God are fresh, they're new every morning. As we confess our sins, as we confess our faults, God washes us and he renews us so that we can shine and represent the kingdom of God that we are from.
But even that, what you were saying, you know, when you're talking about the heart, God knows our heart, right?
Right.
And you're saying that if we confess our sins, God will forgive us of our sins.
Right.
and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know,
that's right.
But you're talking about the sewer goes off to the dry cleaner.
Okay.
But you know, so often the cleansing of God is not as easy as just sending out your clothes
true.
To the dry cleaners. You know,
right.
God puts us; He disciplines those He loves. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we will go through. You know, we can live a life. Like you're saying, a life that is not, you know, seeking after God. But once you come into God's family, once you are a child of God, God will make sure that He moves everything that in His power to make sure that you actually come into a place of obedience in His kingdom. You know what I'm saying? And He doesn't punish us. He doesn't condemn us. But He does train us up in the way we should go.
Right.
And sometimes that training can be more difficult than even we even consider. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sometimes we find ourselves going through the same type of rut over and over, and we keep saying, Lord, get me out of this rut, get me out of this rut. And the Lord's like, no, I put you in that rut so that you learn how to operate in a certain way, so now you can operate in a certain way when you get out of that rut. You know?
Once you learn that lesson, then you can move on to the
and
next
maybe
one.
Another rut, yeah. But
that's right. Yeah, right. That, but that's the dross coming
exactly.
to the surface,
yeah,
so God can continually renew us and cleanse us.
And the fact that God knows your heart, that should terrify you.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Because that's you are right. God knows your heart, but do you?
Right.
Yeah.
You
right.
know? So
right.
bring it before God
right.
and let God actually search you. Break you and then send you.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's why, you know, we get upset when sinners tell us, oh, I thought you were a Christian. That's God saying, hey, remember me? You know, you're supposed to be representing my kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And even ungodly people will help us to realize that we're not representing correctly.
That's right.
And so rather than get offended or be upset, we ought to be checking ourselves and saying, oh, you know what? You're right. And to ask for forgiveness.
That's right.
And, you know, it seems like sorry seems to be the hardest word. I know that was Elton John years ago, but, you know, but still, it's true. You know, we need to be able to come clean before God. And that is what the Holy Spirit will do. He will help us to walk in righteousness,
Amen.
To
yes.
do the things God would have us to do. And hopefully we learn, right?
That's right.
As we go. And you're in an environment where you can learn and where you're going to allow people to speak into your life, because we're not of this world and God has other agents, 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And they're out there and they're all helping to represent the kingdom of God and to manifest the ways of the Lord.
That's right.
And so that's what brings us, and you were talking about this, Michal, from life to death.
Yes.
To life,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And that's so important that we're always conscious of this transformation that we're enduring, that we're going through as God molds us and shapes us into His image. And so I just wanted to summarize, you know, with this, and it's the kingdom of God is the realm where God reigns supreme and Jesus Christ is king. Mm. In this kingdom, God's authority is recognized and His will is obeyed. The concept of a kingdom of God is not primarily one of space, territory, or politics, as in a national kingdom, but rather one of kingly rule, reign, and sovereign control.
Amen. Amen.
This is what the kingdom of God is. Represents. And you and I are under this control or authority that God has. And our desire is to live according to His directions. He's giving us direction. And He's given it to us in His Word, right? The book, the Word of God is there so that we can have a constant tool that will remind us and enable us to know what we need to know so that we can correctly represent and understand who we are, you know, as children of God. And then the Holy Spirit is our marker. The Holy Spirit is the very thing that God gives us so that we can have the power to see this happen, to see it through in our lives. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, I'm constantly praying, Lord, fill me with your spirit.
Yeah. Yes.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we all have to pray that prayer, God, fill me. Because every time you do whatever it is that God is calling you to do, it drains you. Yeah. It takes something out of you. You're imparting something. And so God has to refill us. He has to impart us afresh and anew again. Because just like as you drink, the cup goes down. When you eat, the plate empties. Later on, you're going to be hungry again. You're going to be thirsty again. You need a refilling. You need a refreshing. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do if you ask, if you ask for it. And so we have to learn how to commune with God so we know what to ask, so we know how to live. We get directions from him, and we're able to get our deeds to line up with the condition of our heart.
Amen.
And it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the feet walk, the hands work. All of the things that we do are always coming from the heart. So when we see a person's actions and ways, it's a reflection of the heart. It's always a reflection of the heart, because that's how God has designed us to be. And so I wanted to kind of wrap this session up a little bit here Matthew 18. But
just one thing on the last slide you were on, because I think it's very important to point out too, that even, because where you say that God's in the kingdom, God's authority is recognized and his will is obeyed.
Yes.
But that's even among Satan and his demonic forces, I guess you could
say.
Right. That God's authority is, and now once you become a child of God, you're now operating under that authority. You've been sent out by the king, and that and the demonic know that you have that power and that authority because of God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and because you're part of his kingdom, you know?
Yeah, you're making a good point here. And notice it says the realm where God reigns, because the realm is the spirit realm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And there is lightness and darkness, or good and evil, in that spirit realm. But God's kingdom, it consumes all of that.
Yep.
And God's authority transcends the good and the evil.
That's right.
So that he has power and authority over the good and the evil. Mm-hmm. And that's why even the evil has to subject or submit itself to the power of God.
That's right.
To the kingdom of God.
That's right.
So we tap into the realm of the spirit, but we all know there's good and evil in the spirit. There is demonic, and then there is the angelic. And there are people who operate in under these two influences. The spirit realm influences the natural realm.
Yes, it does.
And so in Christ, we are pulled out from the authority of Satan and placed in the under the soul ownership and authority. We're born in to the authority of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So thank you for that. That was great. Yeah. Hallelujah. Awesome. Praise God. So Matthew 18, 3, 4 kind of helps us to understand what the perspective ought to be. And Jorge and I were talking about this earlier this week. And verse 3 of 18 says, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
And this passage is so important because it helps us to understand that in the same way a child is under the authority of his parents and submits himself to the will of the parent, we are also to submit ourselves under the authority of God.
Amen.
And in the same manner that a child depends on the parents to provide for him and to make a way for them and to even to instruct them and teach them how to survive in the world and to be an example of what they need to be, and even gives them their identity so that they have a level of confidence in who they are that enables them to succeed in life. This is the same thing God does for us.
Amen.
He does the same exact thing. And that's why, you know, we're all family, you know, here. And, you know, we all have crazy uncles and crazy, aunts and, you know, these wacky relatives. It's the same thing in church, you know. We're all relatives. But, you know, and you know, sometimes we upset each other and we do things that annoy each other. But we cannot renounce our family heritage and our relationship. We just say, well, you know, that's crazy Uncle Bob. He's a nut. But, you know, we're praying for him that one day God'll straighten him out. Or, you know, Aunt Susie is a little wacky. You know, I don't know. Maybe she was dropped as a baby. But, you know, she's still our Aunt Susie. And, you know, and we're going to pray for her, you know. And when we go to the family reunion, we're like, okay, we know we're going to see our crazy relatives. So everybody hold on and let's remember who we are and what God wants us to be. And we go in. And we are a role model to each other, and we help each other in that process. And we humble ourselves like a child. And God, he teaches us. And he uses the people in our lives to help us to become more of the people that God needs us and wants us to be. Amen. And that's why isolation is so harmful. Mm-hmm. Because when you isolate yourself and you separate yourself from other people, that hinders your ability to grow and mature. Amen. In your walk with God.
Yes, it does.
Because God has designed us to grow and mature through interactive relationships. It's the whole iron sharpens iron concept that we see in the Word of God. And even Jesus had 12 disciples. He said, did I not choose you the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? Right? And so even the devil had a place in the work of Jesus and his ability to liberate humanity and mankind. God used Satan's role to bring about the will of God. And that still is happening in your life and mine. God is going to use evil for the purpose of bringing out the good in us. Yeah, and so as evil increases, the grace of God also all Amen. The more Amen. Increases.
Amen.
And
Amen.
This is what God is doing. I wanted to point out that the word here for converted is this word strefo, and that word it means to turn around. Mm. It's the same word that can also be translated repentance or to repent. But the whole idea is that there's a change in the way you do things. Mm. It's not just believing in your mind and in your head and in your heart. It's your ways change. The whole idea is that he says, unless you are converted or you change the way you are living, the way you are doing what you do, then and become like children, right? It says, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So if your heart is right, then your ways are going to change.
That's right.
If you have bad gas in a car, it's going to change the way the engine works. Mm. And if your heart is not right, then you are not going to live and operate in the righteousness of God. You're going to operate in your own flesh. And it's sad when you see so many Christians who have the mentality of the world. And that tells you that their heart is really not right, because they're not operating according to the kingdom of God. They're operating according to the kingdom of darkness or of this world, which is under the influence of the kingdom of darkness. So they're operating under the wrong kingdom's authority. When you come to Christ, when your life is transformed in your heart, you become hungry and thirsty for the things of God. You experience a change, a strepho of God. That means your ways change. And the desire of your heart changes. You Amen. Want Amen. To do what is right before God. You want to obey God. You want to hear from God. And you want to see the manifestations of God come alive in your life.
Amen.
And this is what our Christian life experience is all about. And in John 12:39, we see this. It says, for this reason, they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and he hardened their heart so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted. There's that word again. and have their ways changed, their lives changed, and I heal them. Healing comes when you have a change of ways. You will experience the power of God when your ways change. Amen. You have to do something different. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Mm-hmm. They changed from being just fishers of fish to following Jesus that caused them to be fishers of men. Their lives were changed. Their ways changed. When you and I come to Christ, we experience change. Rather than just going to work and doing what we do, we become fishers of men. We become people who represent the kingdom of God. Verse 41 says, these things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Mm-hmm. And this is a picture of those who wanted to follow Jesus, but because of their friends or the people around them, the scribes and the Pharisees, the legal authorities, because of the people of the world around them, they were not able to receive from God. And because they didn't experience the heart transformation, it was the reason they didn't experience the heart transformation is because they wanted the approval of men rather than the approval of God. That's a heart problem. Mm. That means God is not your priority. He is not the one who you love or seek first. But people are. You're more concerned about being a representative of the people of this world than the people of the realm of the Spirit of God. And so God says, if you want to experience that change, if you want to be genuine kingdom citizens, then you have to come into kingdom compliance. Amen. You have to change your ways. You have to allow the newness of life that God has given you, the renewal of your heart and your life come to life so that your ways can change and you can demonstrate what it means to be a citizen of the holy city as you walk in kingdom compliance, which will enable you to prevail beyond the times. Amen? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, glory to God. Well, we thank you all today for joining in with us and allowing us to share these words. And we are so grateful for all that God is accomplishing among us. And we pray that God would be lifted up and exalted in our lives and that the manifestations of the Holy Spirit would be evident in our lives, that we would have strength and power as the men of God, as citizens of the holy city, as the women of God and the people of God, that God would be glorified in every aspect of our life, enabling us to prevail beyond the times. Hallelujah. Amen. Not that great. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Darkness
into your marvelous day.
Oh, yes.
You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I need a shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
I pray that you are experiencing God and the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That you are on a journey as you demonstrate the power of God, the witness of the Holy Spirit of God. God wants to transform our lives. He has called us to remember that we are kingdom citizens. We are citizens of the kingdom of God who are called by his name. And our ways must align with the word of God and the ways of God so that we can experience the power of God. And even as God spoke and creation happened, you and I are a result of God's spoken word coming to life in a human body. And we live according to the manifestations of God's living word as it comes alive among us. And that we too have the power to speak the word of God, and the ways of God can be adhered to or brought into alignment or formation so that others can also be changed. You and I are representatives of the kingdom of God, and he has done everything he can to make it possible for us to be reconciled. And so once we yield to him in his ways, we are able to experience his strength and his power imparted to us so that we can be the witnesses that God has called us to be. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would continue to mold us and shape us. Help us, oh God, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may operate in the attributes of God, that your love would prevail, that you would enable us to experience your peace and the joy of the Lord, and that your glory would overflow in the midst of our lives to impact the people around us, that they too may know the glorious wonders of God, and that they might be set free from every form of bondage and opposition and oppression, that the kingdom of God would prevail. Help us, O God, to remember the kingdom of God is at hand, and it is at hand as we obey and apply the word of God in the power of the Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we thank you for coming out to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. And I pray the Spirit of the Lord will be with you as you persevere through this upcoming week. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.